Good morning. Well, amen, amen, and amen. That was beautiful worship. A little back and forth with some new stuff and some older stuff, a little bit rearranged, but man, that was beautiful, wasn't it? Let me pull those old hymns back out. Good to see you here this morning. For our visitors, good to see you as well. Welcome to Island Church. I'm Paul Ortiz. We planted this church. It's been now, what, 8 years? 8 years, wow. Time flies. Has it been 8 years? I'm getting old. Everybody, so are we. Anyway, good to see everybody here this morning. And today we're going to continue our series that we've been in now for several weeks, the book of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 11. I found the prayer time this morning to be just a great setup for where we're going with God's word. You know, Caleb said something I think that was very interesting. He said something that I think we all need to recognize in our lives, and we need to hear this morning, and I just want to echo that. He said, God does the work. How often do we get in God's way, right? Right? God does the work. You know what our work is? Our work is prayer. Our work is prayer. Prayer is the work and allows God to do the work that he desires to do in our lives. So here we are, God's word. And I hope you know that there's not a day that goes by, not one day that goes by that God does not want you to know that you're not loved by him. He loves you. How many of you know that? He loves you. He loves you. There are people in your life, however, you know this, that they say they love you, but then you might do something wrong and then they stop loving you. Anybody experienced that before? Right? They stop loving you. In fact, they wouldn't maybe even change the way they feel about you. They act like they don't love you anymore. But God says, I will never leave, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age. Isn't that a great promise? That's a great promise. And so there's nothing, hear my heart this morning, the Bible's very clear in this, that can separate us from the love of God. You believe in Jesus? You're a follower of Christ. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. This is who God is. This is the God that loves us. He is our King. Amen? He's our King. You know, at one time, if you didn't realize this, and I'll just remind you, you were an enemy of God. How many of you were an enemy of God at one time? If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. Okay? You're an enemy of God. You were actually at war with God. Because of your sin, there was this huge separation, hostility between you and God. And then God came along, and he is a king. He's a king of peace. He is a king of reconciliation. He wanted to be reconciled to you. He wanted to be reunited to you, not because of anything that we have done, but everything that he has done. He loves us, amen? Sin keeps us separated from him. But God, in his kindness and in his grace, made a way for us. Isn't that a good king? What do you guys think? He wanted you and his family, his big C family. He wanted you to be a friend. Jesus says that all throughout the Gospels, doesn't he? You are my friends. And out of his love for you, this king took action on your behalf. He took action on your behalf. He sent his son, his one and only son, to tear down, listen to me, tear down that wall of hostility that separated us from him. Isn't that beautiful? He did that so that we could be forgiven. He did that so that we could be accepted. He did that so that we could be adopted. We could be grafted into his family. We could become heirs with Christ. And when you placed your faith in him for salvation, you became born again into this royal family. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. It says right there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show, listen to this, you can show others, everybody point to somebody around you, just point. You can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Man, that's good. And because you are a child of God, you are now able to live a life that declares Jesus is King, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over your life. And listen, because of that, this is where I'm setting up this morning's message. You now represent your king. You now represent your king. You can now demonstrate to a world that is watching. And I got news for you. The world is watching. The world is watching. You can show them how good your king is. And you know how you do that? You do that by forgiving others. You do that by blessing others. You do that by showing up wherever you go and doing your best, because you know that you're not working for a dime. You're not working for an hourly wage, but you're working for the king. Do it as if you do it for the Lord. Your work, that's how we do it. You're no longer walking around in darkness. No, no. You're not walking around in confusion. Amen for that, right? You're not walking around in doubt. Caleb said something about that in the prayer time this morning, didn't he? You now walk in light, and you see your life. This is the problem with so many of us. We haven't got here yet. You see your life from a spiritual perspective, an eternal viewpoint, a forever viewpoint. You see it now from a place of hope because of Jesus. So you know where you've been. How many of you know where you've been? Raise your hand. We know we've been, right? But with Christ, you may not know where you're headed. That's okay. But this is what we know for sure. You now walk by what? Faith, not by sight. You walk by faith. So this means that our best days are ahead of us. This is not a political pun, okay? But our best days are ahead of us, not because of what we expect to see happen here on earth, but because now we see an eternity future in the presence of our King. Isn't that awesome? You're now sons and daughters of the King. And one day, the Bible has made this very clear. He is going to return. He's going to gather up his people to be with him. He is going to take them home. And so today, we're going to think about our King. We're going to look at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. I'm giving you a heads up. And we're going to think about our King. If you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, this is important. I want you to know that he is your king. And we live for his purposes, not our own, which ultimately means when we lean into who God is and who Jesus is and what he has done for us, you need to understand this. His purposes are good. How many of you know that? So ultimately, that means that his purposes, and he is, well, that means he's for us. He is for us. He is our defender. He is our advocate. He is our refuge. He is our protector. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You know, sometimes, I'm sidebarring here just a little bit. Sometimes we go through life and we're making some really bad decisions. We've all made bad decisions, haven't we? And so, yeah, amen. There you go. She raised her hand. We all have. We make bad decisions. And something bad happens, and we think, this is terrible. I can't believe that this really bad thing happened as a result of this decision. But sometimes we got to realize that that bad thing that's happened is maybe God placing a roadblock in our life to stop us from keeping us going down that road. And it may look like a bad thing, but we look back and go, man, that was a good thing that God allowed to happen in my life to stop me from continuing to make bad decisions. And so as we read Mark chapter 11, in just a few moments, I want you to pay very close attention to something that sometimes is overlooked in this passage. I want you to pay attention to the donkey, the colt. Is that okay? Get your Bibles, you can highlight some of the stuff in there. I want you to pay attention to that, because while that donkey may seem insignificant, okay, God has placed a ton of truth on the back of that donkey. He has. That little donkey, which in the Bible is referred to as a colt because it was kind of like a young donkey. And those are things that we need to seriously consider for our lives this morning. So let's get into God's word and we'll pray in just a moment. So we're looking at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back.' He will return it back immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to him, "Well, what are you doing? Untying that colt?" And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And he entered Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, this is important. Aren't you glad you're inside right now? He went out to Bethany with the 12. There's a lot there that we're going to unpack. So I would ask you as we pray to give me your attention for the next just half hour or so. Let's see where God's taking us. Can you do that for me? Let's pray together. Father, first, we thank you that we are inside. We are cool and we are dry. We thank you for your grace, your goodness, Lord, for allowing us to be able to enter into this place before the rain came. And maybe, Lord, by your grace, we can leave when the rain is gone as well. But we're here, and in this moment right now, I'd ask you, Lord God, to first and foremost, have your way in our lives. May this word just cut us to the bone. Let us hear something that will drive us into even deeper relationship with you, that would cause us to choose how we would live in a way that represents our King. If we claim the name of Jesus, then our lives should look like Jesus. Our actions should look like Jesus. Our words should look like Jesus. And so I pray that this morning you would speak to our hearts, and that when we leave this place, Lord God, we have examined ourselves so closely according to your word, that you might be sitting on the throne of our heart and our mind, that you are clearly the King of our lives. So I pray right now, Lord, that my words would be your words, that we would not have Paul revelation, but Lord, we would have God revelation. And may I in this moment become less, so that in this place you become more. And what we hear is exactly what we need to hear from heaven. We pray those things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You know, we look at this passage in the first, and I think one of the most important reveals or takeaways that we see in this passage is that Jesus uses this donkey to reveal himself as being a peaceful king. A peaceful king. In the day and age that we live in, this is important. This is so important. You see, because of the Roman Empire of that specific day, people were used to Roman generals and kings riding into town with an awesome procession of an army. They were showing their power. They had this triumphant procession. These parades, they were just basically a massive display of power, of might, of wealth of the Roman Empire. And they would sometimes even use large animals, even wild beasts, to go out before them to show what they were taming. It also would include marching soldiers who were ahead of them, different weapons that they would use in their warfare. And often within these parades, they would often march in prisoners tied together or either in one of those rolling cages for people to see what they had just conquered. And then those prisoners, they would later be used for entertainment. Not to be gruesome, but they would take them to the arenas and they would torture them. They would they would feed them to the lions. They were executed. And then those victorious rulers, Roman rulers, or even leaders that would come in riding, they would come in riding on these big stallions that were adorned with majestic coverings, and they were themselves doing the same thing. The procession was meant as strength, authority, prosperity, triumph. But then we look at Jesus. We look at Jesus, and he comes riding in on a colt. A young donkey. I would imagine that this colt was so young that maybe Jesus' feet were almost touching the ground as he was riding it coming into town. When a ruler would ride into town on a donkey, you know what that was a display of? Peace. Humility. And this was Jesus' subtle way of saying to you and us, I bring peace. Jesus brings peace. But those people were too busy because they had their sights on Jesus, stirring up the crowds and going into Jerusalem and kicking out the Romans. And they were missing the subtle message that Jesus was saying, I bring peace. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gives his life to purchase freedom for everyone. He brings peace. You see, Jesus came to reconcile and bring peace between you and God. That's what he came to do. Jesus riding this donkey into Jerusalem points us to this truth. His kingdom, this is important, his kingdom is about a kingdom of peace between you and God. Amen. And here's a big takeaway for you and for me today. As a follower of Jesus, you represent a king of peace. That hurts a little bit, doesn't it? Not only do you have peace with God because of Christ, but you're called to peace with others. In Romans 12, 18, it says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I've got news for some people. I do. God wants you to be a peacemaker. What? Yes, he wants you to be a peacemaker. He doesn't want you to be a troublemaker. He wants you to be a peacemaker. There are people in your lives, you know this, who are easily offended. Right now, someone just popped in your mind. You know, they just did. Who are easily offended. You've got to be careful what you say and how you say it to these people. Bringing peace to others means putting others first. Ouch. You know, there are a lot of times in my life, I'm an alpha. And if you don't think I'm an alpha, then amen, I've done my job. God is working in me, but I'm an alpha. And there are times, man, I want to say something, and I have to hold my tongue. Because I want to be Jesus, not jerk Paul. Amen? Speaking to someone right now. Be kind, be humble and loving. Listen. If you have to be firm with someone, if you have to confront someone, then do it with gentleness. Do it with love. There's a way to do that, really. Not everyone is going to be at peace with you. How many of you know that? Right? Some people just have to have conflict in their lives. They're pot stirrers. Anybody know anybody like that? You know? They thrive on it. They don't know how to be a person of peace. But if Christ is in your life, you do. If Jesus is Lord, if he is King, then you do. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with those in your life. You know, the other week, Rebecca and I had a chance to just get away for a couple days for our 30th anniversary. Yeah. I know, I don't look that old. But we went to Ocracoke, and I hope these people aren't watching, but it was really hot. I mean, we were riding our bikes through Ocracoke and, you know, just sweating bullets and we're, you know, didn't we see a smoothie stand? He's like, yeah, I think I did. Let's go back to that smoothie stand and get a smoothie. And it was shade over there. So yeah, sure. So we drove around, rode our bikes, and we found it. And we got in there, and there was a long line, and we got in the line behind everybody, parked the bikes, and there was a nice group in front of us from Yoder. I've never heard of it, you know, right outside of Grifton. And they were very nice. We had to start talking with them. The lady came up with her granddaughter behind us, and they were very nice from, I think, Greenville, maybe, area, somewhere around there. And so we had conversations with everybody. And we get closer to the line, to the front. We get to order. And the little girl who was behind us in the line had sat down on the bench just a little ways from us because it was hot. She was tired. So but Grandma says, go ahead, back in line behind them. And actually, I was thinking about maybe we just need to invite her to come up with us. But I didn't do it at that point because it was just too late. And there was a lady that was standing behind us that didn't realize the young girl had been there the whole time. Gave her kind of a look. I didn't see it. But Grandma saw it. Grandma saw it, and Grandma said, you don't have to look at her like that. How dare you? And I'm like, oh, boy. And I'm like, order the smoothie, order the smoothie. Yeah. And so it just kept going, you know. And Lisa says, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, well, she was in line the whole time. You didn't have to look at her that way. You just didn't have to do it. And she just kept going. And I thought, oh, my gosh, just drop it. You know, just let it go. Stop stirring the pot. And it went on and on until it escalated and it got out of control, you know? And I wish I had a wooden Bible because I would have got a talent on them, you know? My point is, if at all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with those in your life and those that come into your life because you represent the King. When Jesus rode in on that donkey, he made it clear he was coming in peace. Amen? But the second thing that we see in this passage is Jesus used this donkey to reveal himself also as a prophetic king. He's riding that donkey into Jerusalem, and you know what he was doing? He was fulfilling prophecy that was written about him in Zechariah chapter 9. That's right. In fact, it says this, verse 9. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. You know, for anybody who had eyes to see, they saw and could clearly see that Jesus knew what was coming and what was going to happen. You know why? Because Jesus is omniscient. He's God, right? He is God-man. He's omniscient. This is why he knew, hey, the donkey's going to be down there. I need you to go get it. It's going to be tied up. Someone's going to ask you, what are you doing? And just tell them the Lord needs it. Jesus knew what was about to take place in such great detail because he is God. Amen? He tells his disciples, when he gets to Jerusalem, the religious leaders are going to conspire against him. They're going to arrest him. They're going to beat him. They're going to mock him. They're going to crucify him. And he's going to raise back to life on the third day. He knew what was going to happen. And so, as a prophetic king, Jesus is also omnipotent. He's omnipotent. Not only can God, Jesus, who is God, God-man, tell you what is going to happen, but he is also going to be able to make it happen, right? That is why we know that God can make a way where there is no way. Anybody ever experienced that in your life? I have, amen? He's all powerful. This is why he can walk on water and calm the storms. He's omnipotent. This is why he can cleanse a leper, make the cripple walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, just like we talked about last week, because he's in control. This is why he can cast out demons. He can raise the dead. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He is in control. Someone needs to hear that this morning because you feel like your life is out of control. Well, Jesus is in control. Just give it to him. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big for Jesus. So Jesus is a peaceful king. Jesus is a prophetic king. And Jesus also uses that donkey to reveal that he is also, this is a big one, a servant king. He is the servant king. When rulers wanted to show themselves as servants of the people, they would ride a donkey. They just would. The Bible tells us that. We can see it all throughout the Bible. See it in Judges 10, see it in Judges 12. Donkeys were known to be work animals. They were. And so servants of the people would ride donkeys. By riding a donkey into town, Jesus was telling the people that he had come to serve them. You know, just a few days earlier in the passages, but we actually went through this several weeks ago. We look in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, and it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus willingly served. Jesus willingly sacrificed on the cross for our sins. He shows us the greatest act of all history. When he was nailed to the cross, when he died for us. You know why? Because not only was it the act of what he did on the cross, but it also means or meant that his Father would look away from him. He was separated from God for you. So Jesus is a serving king. And here's a big takeaway for us this morning. Big takeaway. As a follower of Jesus, you represent a servant king. So that means that you should also, what? Be a servant. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, we're told this. It says, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." God has equipped you. God has given you. He's prepared you to serve others. You have spiritual gifts that God has given to you. Use them well to serve others. Use it well to bless others, to help others. Use it to build others up. Have you ever been around somebody who just tears people down? How long were you around that person? Not long, right? People don't like to be around people like that. That's why when we represent Jesus, people can help to be attracted to that because of who he is. Amen? Jesus is your servant king. He is your servant king. So represent him well by serving, helping, building, loving others. So he's a peaceful king, he's a prophetic king, he's a servant king, and here's a fourth point for us this morning. He uses that donkey to reveal himself as also the saving king. That's good news, isn't it? The saving king. There's something about this donkey that, I'd be honest with you, I just hadn't really seen until I started studying for this sermon several weeks ago. I've preached many Palm Sunday services because this is typically a Palm Sunday passage where I've used this. But there was something that just boop, jumped out at me. I was like, oh, wow, that I just have to talk about it this morning. I think it's important because throughout God's word, God uses a lot of object lessons to help us understand salvation, doesn't he? He uses the concept of being born again for us to understand salvation. He uses the concept of the well and the living water to illustrate salvation. He uses illness and disease, miracles from those illnesses and disease to demonstrate what salvation is. It's taking us from where we were, our depravity, our predicament, our sickness, our illness, our slavery to sin, and it shows us where he is taking us to salvation. He raised people back from death to life, demonstrating what salvation looks like. You were once dead, now you're alive in Christ. You get the concept. Well, he's doing the same thing with the donkey. It's amazing. This unlikely, unusual object, a donkey, a colt, is an object lesson for salvation for us today when we look at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. It demonstrates in its own way, Jesus is a saving king. And I want to show you how in five words, okay? Five words. The first one that comes to me is recognizes. Jesus recognizes. We need to recognize this. That donkey is recognized by Jesus. Jesus knew where the donkey was going to be. He knew where it was going to be. He told his disciples, the Bible tells us, go into the village over there, okay? Jesus recognizes exactly where the donkey is going to be tied up. That's huge. And the same is true for us. Jesus knows what's tying you up in your life. He knows what you're in bondage to. He knows what's keeping you stuck. He recognizes those things. He knows what is the sin ball and chain of your life. Jesus knows that we're sinners. He knows that. But he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you. He has no intention, listen, like that donkey, of leaving you tied up. He wants to set you free. Second word, we're talking about free, is released. Released. The donkey is released by Jesus. Jesus sends two of his disciples, which are unnamed. He didn't tell us who they are. But he says, go and untie it. Release it. Set it free. Everyone who has been set free by Jesus, this is important, knows that someone, he sent someone in their life to help them to recognize that. I know. In my life, I had several people that helped me to recognize my sin so that I could be released. He helped untie people from sin every time that you share the gospel with them. Every time that you share the gospel with them. Every time that you give biblical wisdom. Every time that you live a life that reflects Christ as an example for them. You're setting someone free. He's using you. When you encourage someone to walk with God, you motivate them to make right decisions based on God's word. You help them to think about eternal things, above things, heavenly things. God uses those moments to help untie people from the slavery of sin. The third word, redeemed. That donkey is strange, but he's redeemed by Jesus. Yeah. You see, Jesus tells the disciples, he says, go and tie the donkey and bring it here. Bring it to who? Bring it to him. Bring that donkey to me. The word redeemed means to purchase back or rescue something from captivity. To redeem something is to give new life and new purpose. This is huge. Listen, when that donkey was untied and brought to Jesus, redemption was happening. The donkey was about to experience the real reason why it was born. You get that? The real reason it was born, for Jesus to ride it into Jerusalem. It wasn't born to be tied up, but it was born to be used by the king. And the same is true of you. He wants to redeem you. You were born to be used by the king. Amen. That's what redemption looks like. You were purchased back by his blood. You were set free from your captivity of sin because of Jesus, so that you could be used of Jesus. The fourth word that we see here in this passage that really jumps out at me is ruled. The donkey is ruled by Jesus. Okay, how's that, Pastor? Work that out for me. Well, I want you to notice what he tells his disciples. He says, go get it because the Lord needs it, number one, right? And when they brought the donkey to him, what did it say? The Bible says he sat on it. And we're told, this is important, and the scripture says no one has ever ridden it. No one has ever ridden it. So this is significant, and I'll tell you why. That donkey was still wild in its nature. No one had ever ridden it. It was a young colt. There's a key to that. It was tied up for a reason, because it'd take off and run out in the woods. It'd be gone. Where'd the donkey go? You know, it would have been gone. The donkey was untied, but this is important. He was still wild. He was still wild. He had not been broken. He had not been ridden, but Jesus sat on it. Jesus sat on it, and by doing so, ruled it. He ruled it. And so what that means is that donkey surrendered its authority to Jesus. You with me? You might be untied because of Jesus from your sin. You see where I'm going with this, right? Yeah? You may be saved, but I got news for you. We all have some growing up to do. We all have some growing up to do. We all have some growing up to do. You need to learn what it looks like to submit your life to Jesus, to his authority, because you might be untied from your sin, but you are still wild. You're still wild. You still need to let the Lord's authority sit, on your money. You need to let the Lord's authority sit on your time. You need to let the Lord's authority sit on your family. You need to let the Lord's authority sit on your relationships. You need to let the Lord's authority sit on the throne of your heart and your mind. You need to let the Lord's authority sit on everything. Everything that you have for his use. Thanks for my backup team there. Knew exactly where I was going with that. Are you with me? And so that takes us to the final word that we see that the donkey reveals to that and is returned. This is huge. You see, that donkey is returned by Jesus. Jesus told his disciples to tell whoever asked, "What are you doing? Why are you taking that?" That he's going to return it. The Lord needs it. He's going to return it. This is huge. And when Jesus returned that colt, that young colt, you know what? It wasn't wild anymore. It wasn't wild anymore, but now it was a submissive animal. It's going to be now an animal that God used and will be used by God. It is now different. It is now better. And when God, through Jesus, gets a hold of your life, when he gets a hold of you and he is your Lord and he is your Savior, he changes you. He changes you. You see, the King is going to untie you from your sin. The King is going to bring himself to you, because that's what he did. God came out of heaven to earth for us, amen? The King will rule you and place you under his authority. All authority has been given to me, and now I give it to you. Go and make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I have commanded you. Do you see that now? The King also will return you. And when he returns you, when he brings you back after he has raised you back to life, guess what? You're going to be different. You're going to be better. You're going to be returned a new person. You're going to have a new heart. You are going to represent your King. When Jesus is your Lord, and as you grow spiritually, you're going to become more loving. You're going to become more kind. You're going to become more patient. You're going to become more understanding. On and on and on. I can just give you the fruit of the Spirit and I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to be returned differently because you now represent the King. This donkey reminds me, and it should you, after we've gone through this passage, that God can do anything, anything. And because he can do anything, he can take something as insignificant as a donkey, a colt, and use it for the kingdom purposes. He can use it for his glory. He can use it to point people to himself. And you know what that means for you and for me? That means that we also can be used of God. Amen? So Jesus is a peaceful king. Jesus is a prophetic king. Jesus is a servant king. Jesus is a saving king. You can trust him. You can love him because he loves you. He wants you, and he can give your life significance. But it only happens when we surrender like that donkey did. It only happens when we allow him to have authority over our lives. This morning, a couple things. I want to close in just a moment, but the real question that comes out of this passage is the sermon title, which is, well, it's not the sermon title, but the question is, do you represent the king? With your life, do you represent this king who comes in peace? Do you represent this king? Are you a servant? Are you allowing your life to be submissive to his? I mean, at the end of the day, really, let's be honest. I mean, there's so many of us who say, yeah, Jesus, amen, he's good. God is good all the time, you know? But then the truth is, in our lives, we make decisions based on what we want and not what the king wants. We represent what we desire, not what God desires, what he's embodied in us through the Spirit that should be residing in us. And so the question I say to you is, what king do you represent this morning? What king does your life represent? Is it Jesus? Because if it is, then we should be servants. We should be loving. We should be building others up. We should put others first. We should get out of God's way and allow him to lead our lives. You've heard me say it before, but so often, you know, I hear people say, God's number one in my life. And I'm like, that's great. I love hearing that. Not really. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, we order things that way. We'll go, God's number one, but then number two is whatever we want it to be. And number three is whatever we want it to be. And number four is whatever we want it to be. And number five is whatever we want it to be. But if God is truly number one in our lives, then he will order everything else in our lives too. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, because we're submitting our lives to him. So what does your life represent? Is it Jesus? I hope it is. Let's bow our heads. This morning you've heard what I've had to say and you've heard the word. I think it's been very clear. And I'm just asking this morning to examine yourself. Let's be introspective. Does Jesus really rule over your life? And if he doesn't, then what a great time to just say, Lord, I give up. I'm tired of doing things my way, and I want to be ruled by you. I need to submit all authority to you, because your authority, when you give it to me, is better than any authority I have. I need you. And if that's you this morning, there's no magic prayer. You just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to represent you. Forgive me. Forgive me for not putting you first. Forgive me for not making you the priority of my life. Forgive me for not representing you. It's that simple. And now just go do it. Why do you think Jesus would heal people? And he'd say, be healed. Now go sin no more. They had to follow him. And that's what we need to do in order to be changed. Father, I just pray to you right now that you would speak to every heart this morning. You have spoken mine to mine through this sermon, reminding me, Lord, of those areas in my life that I need to submit to you. I'm just being real. And that I need to give up. And I say, Lord, I need you to be Lord of every part of my life. I need you to be king over every part of my life, over me. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that we would just be honest and in this place begin to just give up and give it to you and say, Lord, be king over my life. Be the king of my heart. Be the king of my mind. Be the king of everything. And forgive me when I've got in your way. Forgive me when I tried to be king. There can only be one king, and his name is Jesus. And Lord, I pray this morning we would surrender to him, the one who gave it all so that, Lord, we could have it all. And so I pray, Lord, that this word would not fall on deaf ears, but this morning, Lord God, you would redeem us from who we were so that we can be more like you. I pray that in Jesus' name, and we all agreed and said amen and amen. One final thought, and we're going to have announcements. In verse 11, I find this interesting, and I just want to share this with you. It says, and he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Mark is the only passage or the gospel that says he looked around, and because it was already late, he left with the 12 to go to Bethany. I found that interesting. He didn't do anything. He just looked around. And I wondered about that. And this is just me speculating. But remember, Jesus said he was going to return the colt. Jesus made a promise through his disciples that he was going to return the colt. He looked around, and because it was already late, he left. I think he was getting the donkey back, because he made a promise. He returned the colt. And he's made us a promise that he will return at just the right time. And you know what? We can count on that, because he made a promise. He made a promise. And that's why I think we can live with hope, because we know that we serve a king who doesn't go back on what he said, who doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go from right to left. He's always going where he needs to go. Unlike the world that we live in, where we have rulers and leaders who are just all over the place. They're doing whatever they need to appease this group or that group. Jesus will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he made a promise, and he's going to keep it. And I think that should give us hope, so that when we live our lives, we can live our lives with the hope of who Christ is and what he is going to do, and that should help us to represent our King. Amen? Amen. We have some announcements for you.